filmmakers, producer Dan Lin, who has been instrumental in bringing all three of these fantastic Lego movies to the screen. The director of the Lego Batman movie, and also has been with the franchise from the very beginning. Director Charlie Dean, making his Lego directing debut, and not only committed 4 years to this amazing project, but moved across the world to do it. And then we've got As Kai, the hot-tempered but warm-hearted fire ninja, it's Michael Pena! As Jay, the surprisingly shy lightning ninja who likes to play with lightning bolts, it's Kumail Nanjiani! As Kai's popular polar opposite, Zane, the half-robot ice ninja, it's Zach Woods! Now director Charlie Bean making his Lego debut. Not only committed 4 years, as I said, but he also moved across the world to do it. As Cole, the Earth Ninja and freelance DJ, it's Fred Armisen. As Coco, Lloyd's loving mom and Garmadon's not-so-loving ex-wife, it's Olivia Munn. On Lloyd's father and the guy who is always trying to take over the Ninjago city, let's hear it for Justin Theroux. As Kung Fu legend and wise teacher Master Wu, it's Jackie Chan. As Lloyd, the green ninja, and the other ninja's fearless leader, it's Dave Franco. And as Naya, the tough-as-nails water ninja with a passion for motorcycles, welcome Abby Jacobson. Well, thank you guys so much for being here and for taking the time. And I'd like to start it off with a question for the filmmakers. One of the things that I think is so fascinating, if you're unaware, is the way that the movie's actually made brick by brick, but it's done with a computer. It's a tedious process, but so, so worth it. So maybe Dan, Chris, Charlie, if you guys could touch a little bit on what that process looks like.
Well, it's interesting because we make the film, even though it is made on a computer, we make the film in a similar way to the way that you build bricks. Each individual brick, we make all the bricks in the computer, and then we design the whole world brick by brick in the same way that you would build in real life.
Yeah, we want the movie to feel like kids are playing with toys. I mean, you know, we're trying to make it as tactile and photoreal as possible so that it replicates the idea of like what it feels like when you're playing with your toys. So that's what we love about it. We try to replicate stop motion, look and feel of real plastic. And I think it brings a real charm to these characters. That's what's fun about these movies. It also feels a little irreverent and innocent.
So every one of our Lego movies looks different. You guys hopefully saw the Lego movie. Lego Batman is a little darker. This one's probably our brightest, most beautiful movie yet, and we've incorporated lots of like natural elements into it. So in the Lego movie, you saw water made out of bricks. Here we'll see real water, real smoke, real fire, real trees and plants. So it's really beautiful to see Lego mixed with Mother Nature.
By the way, can I just say this feels like first class? Business. We have to pay for our food.
Yeah. I'm like, do you guys have water there?
Yeah.
They can't even let us use the restroom pass. You guys have champagne. Where's the curtain?
Let's get back to the restrooms.
Hi, I'm Kaku Belarami, and I've actually seen the movie twice now, and I'm in love with it, and so is my son. My question is to all of you, actually, other than the fact that Lego is a phenomenal franchise, what made you decide to join the franchise? Hi, Jack.
I think all of the Lego movies are always seems so immediately cool and funny. So it was a very easy decision.
Yeah, the creative team behind these movies somehow finds a way to make the humor appeal equally to my nephews who are all under the age of 5 as it does to my friends who are in their 30s, and that's not an easy task.
And for me, I'm like, I didn't care who was making the new Jabba movie, I was gonna try to be in it. Because me and my son, we watched like the first 2 seasons, and you know, kids are like, don't watch the same thing over and over, and we love you guys for that. My son is so psyched on it, like we came into Legoland, his head almost exploded like 3 times. That's what he got.
Did we just miss that?
And they were so psyched on it. And then when they saw the movie, I swear, my son said, it's the best movie he's ever seen in his life.
Up here over here to the right.
Hi. Fantastic job to everyone. My question is for Mr. Jack Chan. What kind of advice would you give to, I see a lot of future martial art practitioners here in the house. What advice would you give future kung fu artists and karate artists?
Just practice. You know, you don't have to practice to just knock somebody down. Just treat like a martial arts, like a exercise. You can, good for your brain, good for your health, good for your everything, you know. When you know martial arts, you respect everybody, your parents, your teacher, and the nature, the whole world. I think martial art is a kind of like a good exercise sport. Yeah.
Right over here.
Good question also for Jackie. I was wondering how early on you know that you're going to not only give the voice for Master Wu and also do the design and the choreography with your stunt team, and how is that process going? When you see the result, do you feel like the cute Lego, they do the exactly what you want?
First, I just don't know why they hire me to be the voice. And then I tell the director, I speak not perfect English, why me? That's what we want. You're a master, but you speak Jack Chan English. I said, okay. And later on, all the way when I'm ducking, I see some action doesn't make sense. I just tell the director, hey, that's not, you should be like this, you should be like that. Then suddenly we sit down, we talk, the director have an idea. I'm here, you hire a stunt team. Teach them how to do movement. We are all actors on the set. We move all the things. I said, okay. Then I've been three years stepping in China, Hong Kong, Australia, America, flying all around to dub for this character. And now I know how famous it is. Because I'm not growing up for ninja, Lego. That's the first time, yeah. Thank you, you.
Hi, I was curious to filmmakers why you decided to include the a change your point of view line. I don't think I've seen that specific line in a family film before, and I just recently learned that that is part of coping skills they're teaching the kids. And I also wondered if for the talent, if there was a time where changing your point of view did help you through a difficult situation.
Yeah, changing your point of view. I think the idea was Lloyd was going through something where he was still a kid, and he had a kid mind, and he was selfish. In the beginning of the movie, he's selfish, and he looks at his relationship with his father, you know, one way, that he's an antagonist, that his father is a problem that he needs to solve, as opposed to looking at it, maybe, again, spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie, but there is a... He goes through a change because he starts to look at his dad from a different point of view. We want people to look at Ninjago from a different point of view. That's why Jackie says that in the beginning of the movie. We wanted Lloyd to look at things from a different point of view because that's his arc, to go from being a child where you're not really sympathetic to other people, where you're not really empathetic. Empathy is a big part of becoming an adult and understanding other human beings, sympathizing, empathizing with other human beings. So the idea of looking at people and sympathizing with other people, sympathizing what his dad went through, observing what his dad went through, that's a big part of his change. And then that way, then he can help his friends, he can become a better leader. So that was sort of where some of the impulse from that came from.
It spreads out through the whole film too, the ninjas as well. The way they're solving their problems, they're looking at things in one way. They're solving all their problems with these mechs and machines, and what Jackie's trying to teach them is you know you have a much greater power inside you, and look at the problems that you're facing in a different way. And even Garmadon, he goes through the same thing. He looks at his family and his relationship with his son.
What about right here?
Hi, I'm Lori Fries with the Main Street Moms. My question is for the voice actors. Did you record together or alone, and how does that differ from when you've done another movie?
We did both.
Alone. Me and Dave did a whole bunch of stuff together, and then we had, I think, one day where which was one of our favorite days, where we all got in the room together and were able to sort of comb over the movie and do a bunch of stuff there. And it was a blast doing that. I mean, it's my first voicing, so I've never really worked in this process, but it's a very, not from the filmmaker's point of view, but it's a very forgiving process for the people doing the voices, because there's sort of no pressure to, nail it on the day. You're going to come in many times and keep doing this.
When this kind of, I guess we all, you do your work and they stand it together and you see it in the picture. And so you make your choices. But it was funny because last night, Abby and I were at dinner, and Dave were talking about, with Charlie, talking about how we were using our real voices, but Justin came up with a voice. And so we were all doing it together. We're like, wait, should we have been doing a voice too? And we were all like,
that's my voice isn't
particularly scary. No, but it made sense because Garmadon had to be this really scary. But it's interesting when we get together and realize, like, wait, if you're usually doing this in your own bubble and you're making your choices, and then later I'm like, oh gosh, I should have had a voice. I should have been British or something. Cooler. So once we got together, I got a little insecure.
You feel like a crazy person when you're recording by yourself, like, because a lot of times they'll just be like, can we get 10 different gas options, and so you're just going like, like one after another, and you just feel like a total mental case. So it's a relief when you're with other people, because it feels like your sanity has returned.
Also, by the time that we recorded the day that we all recorded together, we've been recording individually for like at least a year, and I felt like the timing of that was perfect, because all of us have really found the characters. Right. At least from, I felt, I was like, okay, I know who she is now.
And it's more fun being in the room with the other actors, for obvious reasons. You can improvise together and find things that weren't initially on the page, and when you're improvising, it's just, the dialogue always feels a little more natural, and everyone here is such a great comedic actor, and I remember the day when we were all there in the room together, there was a point where I just sat down to watch all of them just as a fan, because they're just all so quick-witted, and it's really inspiring.
I definitely prefer just recording all my time. I just don't, like, kind of a loner, so it was better if I was gasping in a room. I don't have to say hi to a bunch of people.
You asked me to leave.
Yeah. And you're like, can everybody turn away? And then Mel has to do his line.
Don't record this either.
Yeah, record it.
Well, most of you all have a comedy background, which is awesome. But I got to ask Fred here what it was like for you to voice this character, and the DJ, and influences that you had in your past from sketch or different things. What did that look like for you?
It was easy. I just felt like it was a lot of people I've met in my life, through music and stuff. It's just that all of those characters, people were enthusiastic about music. So the more I tried to do a voice, the more I was told, like, no, stop. Just calm down. I felt so sweaty at first, but then it just got easier and easier. So I loved it. I loved every minute of it. It was great. For me, I was a first take person. I only do one take of everything, and I just got it right away.
That's not true.
But I started doing my part, I think, 8 years ago. I started doing my part.
Before me.
Yeah.
3 years of prep.
Focused on it.
Yeah.
Focal training.
Living as a DJ.
Yes.
Living as a DJ.
Nice. Okay,
we're
right up here.
Yeah, Joe Made of Philadelphia Daily News. For Olivia, my question is, with all the focus on the young, cool ninjas, how did it feel being like the caring mom and then the cool mom, and then you find out it was a little cooler than you thought, and making every scene count? And for every single scene that you were in. And for Mr. Chan, what was it about this project that appealed to you?
That was a very complimentary question.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's great.
Well, thank you.
It was, what I loved about this character was that that she was, I wanted to play the mother as like just the eternal optimist, that she's got, you know, Lloyd, her son, is going through a really tough time, and she just wanted to love him through it. That no matter what he brought to her, whatever, you know, attitude he might have that day, that she wasn't going to judge him for that moment, that she was just going to keep loving him through it. And then what I love is that as we go through the movie, then you see this other side of her that you didn't realize. What I really loved about that was that it really showed the depths of her talent and who she is as a person. And, you know, I grew up doing martial arts, and everything that Jackie was saying about what it teaches you and what you learn is—it's so true. There are things about life and other people and interactions that you only can, I think, truly really appreciate when you do martial arts and understand that. And with Coco, what I loved is, out of all the things that she could be in the world, and you know, it's clear when she shows who she really is and what she's done. Out of all the things that she could do, she chose to be a mother, and that said so much to me. That, you know, she could have been a hero for many, but she chose to be a hero for one. And that, to me, just shows how important being a mother is. And I just love that part of her. And it was really, really fun to play.
Nice. But you have a kid over here that has a question.
Oh, there's a
Jackie Chan question. I want to do it because I make a lot of action movies. Sometimes the action movie, the children cannot go to see it. So this one, I said, how can I let the children know me too? That's the only way you do. So this was a long time ago. I have a Jackie Chan adventure. So whenever I travel around the world, even in Germany, in Morocco, the children, Jackie. I said, wow. You know, the cartoon, this kind of the children things. When they're growing up, even now, everybody says, Jackie, I watched your movie growing up. Everybody says that. And I've been making a movie 57 years now. Then I want the children, before I pass away, they still remember. So this is why I do the Lego, now the Lego, how many already?
Three.
See, so for the future. Because monster will never die. I continue dumping.
Job security.
You're recording a lot of extra stuff with Jackie.
Okay, let's go over here.
All right, we have some over here.
I love the movie. This is for Jackie Chan and the other everyone else. What's your favorite line from the movie?
I hate Gamadon. I've been practicing so long that I can correct the Gamadon. Every time, no, Gamadon. Now I never forget Gamadon. And in the movie, you see all the effort is my own sound. You know, I hate cartoon, the cartoon character jump. Too long. The director said, one more time. I said, okay. Too long. You know, not a real human. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the fight scenes, when I've never had an opportunity to do a fight scene, or ever. When will I ever get to do that? So hopefully that was so fun to make all those sounds.
Also fun to fight Jackie, zero potential of getting hurt.
What about right back here, little girl?
My name is Tammy, and
same question.
What's the kitty's name?
The kitty's in Australia.
What's the kitty's name?
And what is the kitty?
Meowthra.
We'll not answer it in any other name. Kitty's
publicist thought it was too late for this event.
Kitty's shooting a Wes Anderson movie. Kitty's really taken off.
But in all seriousness, speaking of the cat, how did that work as it's going through the sets and so forth? Because the kitty's real, and then we're able to see the computer animated.
The cat was an amazing performer. They were identical twins, and we worked with the cat. One of the cats in the morning, and then she would get tired, and then we worked with the other cat.
Cats are always tired.
Okay, we're gonna
be more tired than she already was.
Yeah.
Hi, this question is for Olivia, and I'm gonna try and record it. Okay, hi Olivia.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good, thank you. Well, this question is important to me because I think you having studied karate, I think, and you're a black belt, and you did this between the ages of 5 and 16,
yeah.
Yet in another interview you said you ate in the library at school.
Yeah.
So that means at some point you regained a lot of self-confidence, and for kids today that's really important. How did you do that?
I moved around a lot as a kid. I was in a military family, and I was like always the new kid, and so one of the hardest things as a kid, I think, is finding, you know, a group to hang out with and have lunch with, and that starts pretty early on, like 5-6 years old, and so it's kind of always been like that. But I had a realization when I was like around 10 years old, and I realized that like there's always been, because the thing that kids in when you want to just be liked by people, then you want to be like by the popular kids, and then you want I want that really cool pencil case, and I want that backpack, and we didn't have to grow up a lot of money, so there was like the thing was kicking up in me of like always wanting, you know, that I was becoming envious and feeling very alone, and then I had this realization once when I realized that like no matter what, there's always going to be somebody prettier, taller, you know, nicer, smarter, richer, and then there's always going to be people on the other side of that as well. And I just have to do my best at being me, and hopefully it will all work out, because I can't worry about people, you know, ahead of me. I can't worry about people behind me. I just gotta, you know, run my own race. And that kind of changed. I mean, I just kept eating lunch by myself, but that's my choice. And it was just more of like realizing that I shouldn't care about what other people are doing and just work on myself.
So, Kai is my favorite ninja, so this question is for Michael.
Where are you, dude? I can see you right now. I'll pay you later, dude. Don't worry about it. Check's in the mail.
So, if you were actually a Lego minifigure named Kai and you could only do three things, what would you do?
If I could only do three things? Well, I mean, obviously I would use fire. I would be really humble. And I would help the world. One humble pie at a time.
Hi, my name is Alyssa from Family Fun Pack. And my question is, all of you in your character voices, can you say a line from the movie?
I don't remember.
We all sound like ourselves except for Jessica. For me.
Yeah. When was it? Got bit by a snake, got bit by a spider.
The reason why I have four arms is because I got bit by a snake and got bit by a spider.
Justin's idea to mispronounce it.
Call
him Lloyd.
It's tiring.
It's his son.
It's really annoying.
Lloyd. I love that.
Okay. Little guy right up there in the center.
Hi.
Hi.
Zach, yeah. Do you practice your robot voice at home?
Well, it's kind of born with a robot voice. In real life, so playing the robot wasn't that hard for me because sometimes I feel a little robotic day in and day out. So it wasn't too. I didn't have to practice that much. Do you have a robot voice?
Me or you? We have another question for Garmadon. Do you practice four arms at home?
What's that? I have four arms that are taped to my back. Right? And two arms. Take my back. So I do have four arms.
They're little arms.
They're just normally like this thing. They're right on the side.
Lego size arms.
I take them down. All right,
we got time for a couple last questions. Let's go over here.
This is to follow up with you, Justin. Where did you come up with that voice?
I don't know. It kind of fell off the truck. We were just playing around, and then obviously he was going to be to have like a bigger voice than my own voice. So we just kind of pulled around and found it.
Just sort of organically happened because of the stuff that we were trying for. It was like we tried, lots of different things, but it was like, it's theatrical and big and it's like operatic.
Yeah,
and
we started with a lot of the scenes where like I would be attacking the city, so I'd have to be like screaming over, all the noise and everything that was going on. And then in the sort of moments with Lloyd. We'd have to go lower. I'd have to be more sinister. So I just, found a lower register.
Okay, let's wrap it up right here.
For Jackie Chan, you had Jackie Chan Adventures. You've been in Kung Fu Panda and now Lego Ninjago. Has animation been good at showing how martial arts are performed and what martial arts can do?
Huh?
Have you liked the way animated shows and films portray martial arts?
Ah, yes, because sometimes martial art, you have limit. In the cartoon, martial art unlimited. You can do anything, everything, and you never get old. That's the most thing. I just finished my another new Jackie Chan adventure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, probably release later. I hope the children can see it. And also, have a lot of good message to teach children how to be a good children, respect everything. Yeah.
Okay, I think we should end with one last child question. You want to ask a question, sweetheart?
Did you choose to be a ninja?
Say what?
Did you guys choose to be ninjas?
I was born a ninja.
Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time. Let's give them a round of applause.